Welcome into the early line. Kevin Walsh and Donnie Rideside with you here on Sports Grid, zooming through a tremendous slate of Week 2 NFL action. But the main event, no doubt about it, Sunday Night Football, Chiefs, Ravens, Mahomes, Lamar. The Kansas City Chiefs are 3.5-point road favorites, a total of 54.5. In my eyes, Donnie, this is a situation where if you're going to bet the Chiefs, you're going to have to pay for it there. There's no world where the Ravens have been power rated to be getting these kind of points at home. But who wants to get in front of the Kansas City Chiefs? Sunday Night Football should be a good one. What do you think about this matchup?
Yeah, recency bias, I guess you could say, Kevin, right? Since 2018, three games. They played in 18, 19, and 20. Guess what? All three of those victories, you guessed it, the Kansas City Chiefs. So I asked myself, what's going to change in this football game? Well, maybe if we had Gus Edwards, maybe if we had J.K. Dobbins, maybe if we had an elite wide receiver that you drafted in the first round or you expect to be elite in Bateman being out there, that's not going to be the case. And, oh, yeah, how about your left tackle Ronnie Stanley that with a monster contract? He's not going to make this football game either. It just seems to me, Kevin, and we even talked about this previously, Lamar Jackson, it's all on his shoulders. So if you want an MVP championship shot where he's going to be getting a really big ticket for being a good football player, oh, yeah, has won an MVP before, this is probably the game for you on the national spotlight. If he can throw for 285 yards, rush for 100, three combined touchdowns, lead his team to a victory here, he's going to catapult in the MVP race because it's going to be clear, Kevin, that he has to put the entire organization on his back this year. Mm-hmm. But having said all those good things and nice things and how talented Lamar Jackson is, I don't think that's going to happen. This team is too talented on the opposite side of the football. Tyrann Mathieu should be back in this one. That'll help. But if we're looking from a shaky passing game, which you need to be elite on offense at all levels to take on the Chiefs, because quite frankly, the Chiefs, Kevin, they don't care who your defense is. They are going to score points religiously against your teams. So if I'm looking for the matchup coming in, Lamar Jackson has to have one of his best overall performances to win this game. I'm not so sure he can do it with the surrounding cast now. It's nothing but Chiefs for me. But then again, the public, they're on what I'm talking about here as well. It's nothing but Chiefs from the public either.
The thing is, Donnie, there's not a world where I am going to be willing, I think, to take this short of a number against the Kansas City Chiefs. Now, I felt that way last week when it was 4.5 versus the Cleveland Browns. I was wrong. They only won by 4. And you were all over that game. You loved the Browns and you were bang on right about it. They covered wire to wire. But I also can't knowingly lay a bad number like this. And laying 3.5 with the Chiefs is a bad number. But I do like the over in this football game. They met last year in Baltimore, 34-20 final. You would have lost this by the hook, and there was some sloppy football. Turnover on downs, deep into opponent territory, missed field goals. This is a game, to me, where Baltimore is going to have to bring the juice. As you said, Lamar is going to have to come out firing. We've made this point time and time again, and it's something, Donnie, that I know you know. There's a misconception that was built from, like, a random Colts win against the Chiefs that you need to slow it down and bleed the clock. No, you have to score to beat the Kansas City Chiefs, and you have to score a lot of points. And if this game is going to be competitive, which I think it should still be competitive, it's going to get over the number, just like Chiefs-Browns did last week. That total, again, is 54.5. We bring the radio audience into the fold. Appreciate all those listening to the early line on Sports Grid Radio, Sirius XM, Channel 204. Kevin Walsh and Donnie Rightside with you here, breaking down Sunday Night Football, Chiefs-Ravens. And I have to also make this point, Donnie. You know that I bet Patrick Mahomes to win MVP. This is a situation where whichever quarterback wins this game, I think is going to get a huge boost in their odds to win that award based on not only what we saw happen with Matthew Stafford's odds last week and how they moved off of Sunday Night Football, but basically the performances that you're going to need from these quarterbacks to pull out a big-time win in this matchup.
You're right. And also when you come into the season, you get a first place schedule like the Kansas City Chiefs have. You think it's going to be tough, which it should be. You open up at home against a really good formidable opponent here in the Cleveland Browns. You beat them. And then you're also circling the calendar. Hey, they got to go week 2. Look at this. Prime time in Baltimore, tough place to win. That's a heck of a start here for Kansas City if they can get out to a 2-0 start, which I expect. But also, Kevin, taking a look here at the game itself, if we don't like to lay the 3.5, you'd like to look at some of those alternative numbers or alternative bets that you can have at the FanDuel Sportsbook. If you think the Chiefs are going to win this game, doesn't it seem too easy to say the Chiefs will be up at the half? Well, if you don't want to lay the 3.5 full game because maybe there's a backdoor cover, it's going to be a close game in the second half, you can get the Kansas City Chiefs first half here right now at the FanDuel Sportsbook, -2.5, -120, to be up at the half. If they're going to win the football game, they're probably going to play well all the way through. Now, having said that, last week at home, slower start here, Cleveland with the lead in the second half, and it was a late comeback here by the Kansas City Chiefs to get that victory. But I don't see it the same way this week. If I think Kansas City is going to win, which I do, am I maybe more comfortable saying, I just want to say Kansas City's up by a field goal or more at the half. I don't have to sweat the second half. Or do you let it play out over the four quarters? A lot of stuff you can bet on here at the FanDuel Sportsbook in that regard.
And also some props to look at. Donnie earlier in the week mentioned Lamar passing plus rushing. Yeah. The over in that market is 1-0 to start, and he'll need it to be 2-0 again for them to rack up a win. Also, what do they do with the Tyreek Hill receiving yards number? Under the radar, he was 3 yards short of a 200-yard receiving game. He was dominant against the Cleveland Browns, and it looks like it could be a huge year for Tyreek Hill specifically. We'll take a break right here on the early line. We're coming on back. Eagles, Cowboys, NFC East teams in action. We'll break them down next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
All right, let's keep it moving here through the Week 2 NFL slate. And we've got a couple of good games that feature the NFC East. Obviously, the NFC East heavily featured on Thursday Night Football. We'll start in Philadelphia, where the Eagles host the San Francisco 49ers in a really interesting matchup because the Birds looked wonderful in Week 1 on the road against the Atlanta Falcons. The Niners were en route to one of the most dominant performances of the opening week, and then got backdoor covered by Jared Goff and the Detroit Lions. The Niners are laying 3 on the road. The total was 50.5. It's down to 49.5 here. Donnie, what do you think about the Birds and Jimmy Garoppolo and the San Francisco 49ers?
Yeah, before the season, you're probably circling this game saying this is probably a fortified loss here by the Eagles, but not so fast here. After opening day, the Eagles' performance against the Atlanta Falcons was sensational. You got everything you wanted if you were an Eagles backer in that football game or just even an Eagles fan. Great offensive line play, quality quarterback play, young wide receivers making plays, a defense making adjustments and shutting the door on a road against the Atlanta Falcons, but also you are correct. San Francisco 49ers are a good football team, and they were laying waste to the Detroit Lions until the last couple minutes of that game. Onside kicks, couple fluky plays. Next thing you know, it's a 41-33 final score, and you say, oh, my goodness. Yeah. Detroit looks like a good football team, and maybe the 49ers aren't so good. Don't take a look at that final score. Dip into that game and watch the first three quarters, and that'll let you know about Jimmy G and that offense with Kyle Shanahan. This is going to be a big-time test for the Philadelphia Eagles, but they do get this game at home. The San Francisco 49ers, Kevin, as we always point out, back-to-back road games in the NFL, which is tough, and back-to-back road games on the East Coast. We'll see if that plays into it. But again, week one to week two, don't overreact. The Eagles aren't going to win the Super Bowl just yet as much as I want them to win this. The San Francisco 49ers are down a couple key weapons here. When you lose a starting quarterback, it's never a good thing. When you lose your home run hitter at the running back position, it's never a good thing. But I expect Kyle Shanahan to be dialing up great play after great play like he usually does. This is a huge test for this Eagles football team. If they pass this one with flying colors, this is going to be a wonderful win for the rest of the season where the Eagles maybe can win the NFC East, Kevin. But I have to be a little bit surprised here. FanDuel Sportsbook here in New Jersey opened up at 4.5 early in the week. We're down to 3. I'm amazed that money is coming in on the Eagles and knocking it down to 3 here because I think that does shift that value perspective from my eyes to the San Francisco 49ers. It'll be interesting to see from now on a Friday, the three-point line, to see what it closes at, Kevin, on Sunday, to see if it goes up to 3.5. I would be shocked if this game finished at 2.5.
100% agree. I do not think anybody would let the number get that low. With that being said, you can't overstate how good the Eagles looked in the opening week there. Whether it's, I mean, Jalen Hurts, 27 of 35, 264 passing yards, and three touchdowns. Ridiculously impressive with what we saw from Jalen Hurts in that opening performance there. The defensive side of the football, though, Donnie, after giving up two early field goals and holding in the red zone against that Atlanta offense, did not allow another point the remainder of that game. They didn't give up a play of 20 or more yards that entire game. It was dominant on both sides of the football from the Philadelphia Eagles, but I think in a way that defensive performance is being maybe lost a little bit here in the discussion. I look at this total of 49.5, and I think you've got an Eagles defense that knows they're going to have to bring it to slow down the Niners, and I think you're going to have a Niners defense, Donnie, that's going to have to play a full game because they know they let things get out of hand down the backstretch of that game against Detroit. Because at the end of the day, yes, you are right. The Niners were always in control until the Detroit Lions were inside the Niners' 30-yard line, down by 6 points, like with the football, with under a minute to go, having a legitimate chance to all of a sudden pull an upset.
Yeah, Detroit coming into the season, Kevin, we weren't expecting them to put up 30 points on the Niners, but yet here they are. So if you're looking from an Eagles perspective, Nick Sirianni's offense, Jalen Hurts, you know there are some gashes that you can get after San Francisco with. And also, yes, down a legitimate starting cornerback, that's not going to help you early in the football season. And as I said, Mostert out as well. That's the home run guy. Remember the first two drives with the Philadelphia Eagles and the Atlanta Falcons? Hey, if there's a legitimate running back, they're going to be able to steamroll the Eagles. Well, they made some changes and adjustments, but the 49ers were one of those football teams, Kevin, that hit home runs on running plays throughout the season, 2 to 3 a game, 25-yard run, 30-yard run, bust a 50-yard touchdown run. We've seen it from them. It'll be interesting to see the game plan coming in now that you're down that top running back, that you're down a top cornerback to see how you adjust. But I think your point is valid here. If you can get to the 49ers with points, the Eagles, with a great offensive line, at least that's what they showed week one versus Atlanta, you have a lot of pedigree guys there. Jordan Mailata, the left tackle, looks like he might be a superstar in the making after getting that big contract. I want to see the Philadelphia Eagles game plan because what Nick Sirianni pulled out of his hat last week versus Atlanta was absolute perfection. You're going to need that here in week two versus the 49ers. But if you're looking from a betting perspective and you want confidence on the Philadelphia Eagles, nothing shows more confidence, Kevin, than FanDuel opening up at 4.5 and now sitting at 3.
No doubt about it. The NFC East favorite Dallas Cowboys are in action. A little bit of a mini-buy there, playing last week on a Thursday. They got a big trip, though, over to L.A. They play the Chargers, who beat Washington last week. And the Chargers now lay 3.5 points. This number's been on the move, I'm sure in part due to that DeMarcus Lawrence injury that is going to cost him a good part of this season for that Cowboys defense that certainly needs him. And you can see that this total lets you know the Dallas Cowboys defense is in town. 54.5, Donnie, is the total in this matchup.
It's amazing. It is a high number, but it is warranted because you're looking at a Chargers offense that has a good offensive line. Herbert was sensational last week, particularly on third down, made the big plays in the biggest parts of the game, particularly in the fourth quarter drive, salting that football away against the Washington football team by converting three third downs, including a 3rd and 16 to start that drive. I expect nothing less than perfection again going up against this Dallas Cowboys defense. The one thing you wanted to hang your hat on for the Cowboys, if they would have a shot in football games, was a good pass rush. Now you're down your best pass rusher on that team. You're going on the road, but you do have a little bit of a boon here because you have the extra sort of mini bye week from playing opening night on Thursday. That should help. Dak Prescott looks sensational. I expect him to look good in this football game again, but is it too easy, Kevin? That's the question here. Look, when you look at this football game, wait a second here. The Chargers, the Dallas defense stinks. Michael Gallup is out. They're a little bit too injured for my liking here. Are we trying to overgrow this a little bit too much? Because it's not as if that the Dallas Cowboys are getting 11.5 points and they're going to get smoked in this one. This line is sitting at 3.5 across the board. That is a really good offense. And would your mindset have changed, Kevin, on this football game if Dallas had beaten the world champion Tampa Bay Buccaneers opening night in their own building? would you have another perspective? Or is it just, hey, Randy Gregory, hopefully he gets back for this game. He tested positive for COVID, but is vaccinated, so he just needs back-to-back tests here, I guess, over a 48-hour period to get back in. But DeMarcus Lawrence, that's a big injury. But you also get one of the better offensive linemen back on your side. I think Dallas is going to score. I think the Chargers are going to score. But I don't want to overlook this game and say it's just too easy to take the Chargers here.
It's so interesting, and it's such a good point you bring up. Is this number 3.5 if they beat the defending Super Bowl champions? But you know how I felt about that Cowboys performance. They should have won that game, and it's really bad that they didn't. They forced 4 turnovers and still gave up 31 points. The ball was given to them in key opportunities time and time again, and another one where they took a touchdown off of the board when they were on the 5-yard line and Godwin coughed that football up here. And this is the thing about Dallas. Is this just a world where they're basically already down 4 touchdowns because that's the minimum that this horrific defense is going to allow? How do the Cowboys try to approach that on the offensive side of the ball? Because look, I mean, Dak's first game back, 42 of 58, 403 yards, 3 touchdowns, looked great. Looked great in that game. Everybody knows Dak looked great in that game here. We talked early week about players that we want to target in the props market. I can't wait to see what the Zeke Rush number is because I think they're going to have to use Zeke more. My thing for this game, though, is that extra prep time that you mentioned, Donnie, on the Dallas Cowboys, plus the fact that they keep coming because this offense at the end of the day will always keep them in the mix is why I would take them plus the points here, even though they're heading towards LA and even though the Chargers certainly look like a team that has some juice. A lot more games to get to here. We'll start it off with the Steelers and the Raiders. An interesting matchup as the Raiders are off of a huge Monday night win. Can they carry that momentum over? We'll break it down next right here on Sports Grid.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
All right, we're back right here going through this week 2 slate. And the Vegas Raiders, Donnie, short week here. You know, that's an interesting thing, how short of a week is when you're doing the Monday to Sunday trip. Obviously, shorter, but it's not that short of a week. Nevertheless, though, Vegas has to go to Pittsburgh here. The Steelers off of a win. And I can't call it impressive. They looked horrible in the game. But then again, they looked horrible for the first 11 weeks of the season last year. And they were amazing. So I don't know what you want to make of the Pittsburgh Steelers. I know, though, that they are favored in this game. It was 5.5 last night, up to 6.5 this morning. The total checking in here at 46.5. Can Big Ben and the Steelers, Donnie, go 2-0, and can they cover the number in the process?
The one thing I do know with the Raiders coming into this football game, and you're right, you play Monday night, you go to overtime, and it's not as if you got to stay at home again, say, okay, we're going to get our rest. You got to go on the road, head to east to play Pittsburgh, which is a tough environment to play. The one thing I can rest assured, let the people know out here, if Derek Carr throws 50 times in this game, he will be buried at midfield at Heinz Field. There's no way that he's going to be able to drop back that many times against that ferocious pass rush and be able to get away with like what he did last week versus the Ravens. But here's the crux of the argument for me, Kevin, in this football game. You're right last week. Credit the Steelers and Mike Tomlin. That is a fantastic organization. They hung around in that football game long enough to wait for the Bills to make their mistakes when the Bills should have capitalized and been up multiple scores in the first half, 17 points, 21 points, and just ridden to an easy victory. That wasn't the case. But again, you have to let the Steelers know that that's a good football team. They hung around and got the win against a very quality Buffalo opponent on the road. Now you come home to Heinz Field. But my issues with Ben Roethlisberger, Kevin, that you saw last year appeared once again. Yes, the Buffalo Bills defense is better than the Las Vegas Raiders defense overall. I didn't see the arm strength. I didn't see any mobility. I didn't see the creativeness in the offense, which I was hearing on Big Ben. We're not going to be predictive this year. It's wonderful we have a new offensive outlook here. The new offensive line is going to be good. I didn't see any of that last week. Now, maybe it's the Buffalo Bills and they're a really good team, and you're going up against the Vegas Raiders, who maybe not the highest expectations coming in, but a nice win that they had Monday night versus the Ravens. I know one thing. I'm going to get a devastating pass rush from the Pittsburgh Steelers in this game. And number two, I should have enough offense to beat the Vegas Raiders. That number is interesting at 46.5 because usually you look at a Steelers-Vegas Raiders game. Hey, look, you know, Steelers should be able to do whatever they want on offense. And I like what, you know, John Gruden and Carr did week one versus a formidable defense in the Ravens. But I got to tell you right now, I do think the Pittsburgh Steelers are going to win this game and cover. I'm not in love with it because, again, I'm not in love with Big Ben in 2021, the same way I wasn't in love with Big Ben in 2020, Kevin.
Which is understandable. Again, like, I hope Steelers fans after last season will be a little bit more willing to admit that even if their team wins, they don't look good in the process. But they are playing. If you are a Pittsburgh Steelers fan, that Monday night game was the best thing that could have ever happened. Because, one, they beat the Ravens, which is great for you. Two, they go to overtime short week Monday night. And also, you would think John Gruden, right, a veteran, been around a long while coach, would be able to keep his team's heads in check. Not at all. Press clippings king. When the Vegas Raiders do something good, they always go, we're unbeatable. Last year, they beat the Kansas City Chiefs. What did they do the next week? They go to Atlanta and lose 43-6. That is impossible. They're also not a team that travels all that well to the East Coast here. I think it's very live that they get absolutely obliterated in this game by Pittsburgh. Because also, the thing is, Pittsburgh didn't play well last week. So I think that they should be looking to uptick their performance here, Donnie. I think it's a game that the Steelers have the chance to win big. It is a game as well where I could see there being enough points here. Again, a total of 46.5. If Vegas is going to have to throw the ball because Josh Jacobs is banged up and the ground game doesn't work, that's going to lead to a lot of points, almost Dallas Cowboys-esque.
I agree with you there because good things happen with very good defenses like the Steelers have. If Derek Carr drops back to pass 50 times, you know what can happen? A big play downfield, a turnover because he got sacked and fumbled there. I do like where you're going with this one. They should, but just that little, you know, image in my head with Ben Roethlisberger. Like, if this game ends up 21-17 where the Steelers win, will the Steelers be happy that, yes, they picked up a victory? But I need to see it from the Steelers' perspective here. I love the young wide receivers the Steelers have. I love the fact that they drafted the young kid out of Alabama in the backfield. You get that nice little surge. But it seems to come down to Big Ben. And I know we can't trade quarterbacks here. And I always use the same guy, Kevin, time after time. Like, if Matthew Stafford got traded, like Big Ben retired and Stafford actually went to the Steelers, you'd have a whole different outlook on the Steelers season, like Super Bowl champions. But the simple fact is the Steelers have an elite defense. But I'm not talking in my mind, Kevin, Super Bowl champions. I need something out of Big Ben. Give me 40 passes in this game. Give me 325 yards passing. Give me something to believe in, Ben, this weekend.
I'm very, very excited to watch that one. Another one I'm excited to watch play out. The AFC East Division leaders, Miami Dolphins, host last year's division champs, the Buffalo Bills. The Bills are road 3.5-point favorites, Donnie. A total checking in at 47.5. And I have to say just right off of the bat here, when I see this spread combined with this total, this is a game to me that is basically trying to tell people, don't let week one Buffalo offensive outlook skew your mind. And remember last year's Buffalo offense that was electric, that had Stephon Diggs look like the best receiver in football, and that had Josh Allen as a top three MVP candidate. I've looked at this game all week long. I keep thinking, I want Miami. I want Miami. But where this could get ugly for the Dolphins is because their offense didn't look all that great in their opening game of the season, is one where the Buffalo Bills look how they did last year on the offensive side of the football, flirt with a near 30-point performance, and Tua and that offense doesn't have enough juice, Donnie, to keep up.
And we're taking a look from Buffalo, which usually these games are played, and the NFL usually schedules. Buffalo goes down early in the season to Miami, so Miami gets the advantage with the heat and humidity. Then they go back in December and play, typically, or later in the season, where Buffalo would have the advantage here. It's like the old Miami Hurricanes trick. How many times in the 80s and 90s, when there were big football games in the Orange Bowl, Miami, they'd kick them off at noon. Why? Because it's 90 degrees and muggy with the sun beating down. It's going to be similar here at Hard Rock Stadium. Now, I know there's a canopy over the roof, but that doesn't keep out the heat and humidity, which you're going to have. I was very impressed with the Miami Dolphins. I thought it was one of those teams that flew under the radar last week, beating the Patriots, because everyone would talk about Mac Jones and the fumble inside the 10. But if you watch that game all the way through, Brian Flores had every answer for the New England Patriots in this game. Tua Tagovailoa was solid. The running game was solid. The defense played well. You're going to need that and much more this week. And this is one of those overreaction week games. Maybe the biggest one, Kevin, where we're talking about after Sunday and on Monday, Buffalo Bills win this game. Not even close. Not even close. They're going to go down there and roll Miami. And the more I watch film, the more I watch tape, saying, you know what? There are some things that the Miami Dolphins can do in this football game that can expose the Buffalo Bills. How about getting Will Fuller back at wide receiver here for the Miami Dolphins to get to another weapon? And even if he doesn't make a big impact, Kevin, we talk about DeSean Jackson going to the Rams here. If you can just get separation and you can stretch that defense, everybody else gets a little bit more room over the middle, including your running game and your quarterback. As I've gone on, I like the Miami Dolphins in this game. It was 3.5 throughout the week. Now we're seeing those three numbers pop up. I want to see where this goes game time, because if it's one of those where you're getting 3.5, as razor thin as that is between three, I like the Miami Dolphins. If it drops to 3, do I still think the Dolphins are a decent play? Yes, but I see a hard-fought game. And also, I look towards the under in this ball game at 47.5 here. Two good defenses, maybe a little bit closer to the vest. We're waiting on Josh Allen to wake up in the 2021 season. Maybe he does it this week, but I'm going to bet he does in here. Give me the under, and I'm leaning towards those Miami Dolphins.
It feels like a game where it's Miami in the under, Bills in the over. I'm glad you brought up Will Fuller, because I have to say, I was going through the props here, Donnie, and I saw the Devontae Parker number, like low 40s, and I'm like, what am I missing? 80 yards last week, and I had someone tap me on the shoulder. Hey, brother, Will Fuller's back. Good thing that person tapped me on the shoulder, because Will Fuller does matter. And he's plus 270 to score a touchdown. It's kind of his thing. It's kind of his thing. It's just being wide open downfield. And if Tua can hit him, 270 on Will Fuller is not a bad look. I have to bring up Cardinals-Vikings here before we hit the break. I can't stand this game. I have to be honest with you, Don. Everybody loves Arizona after week one. And I was so ready to fade them after week one. Why are they not laying 6? Why is this in no way, shape, or form an overreaction line? How are they getting away with booking the Cardinals at the same price that I tend to believe this number would have been had they just performed well against the Tennessee Titans? The Vikings lost to the Cincinnati Bengals. Am I wrong? Does anything about that number to you say, oh, overreaction line on the Cardinals?
Yeah, as if Minnesota went last week and lost by a point in Kansas City. Oh, they could have had that game. No, they lost to the Bengals on the road. They looked bad doing it. Now, I know there was a fumble in overtime where maybe Dalvin Cook didn't fumble that football, but you've got to be kidding me in this one. This sets up so easily for Arizona, and yet you look down. It's like, well, the line opened up at the FanDuel Sportsbook at -3, now sits at 3.5. Are we missing something here? So, if you think the line is a little bit off and you think Arizona's going to win, you take them on the money line, or you take them in with the -3, the -3.5. But also, I'm looking on the opposite end of the spectrum here. The one thing I do like about Minnesota, two good wide receivers, a good regular season quarterback in Kirk Cousins, and an elite running back. And if I think Arizona is going to be able to score on the Minnesota Vikings, you got to return fire to stay in this one. Looking at the FanDuel Sportsbook right here on Friday morning, a 23.5 for the Minnesota Vikings. Trust me, Kevin, if the Vikings score 19 points in this game, they will get smoked. So if you think they can hang around the chicken coop here, take that team total over on the Minnesota Vikings.
I like where your head's at here. I refuse to bet the spread in this game. I think I will play the over in this game, because if Arizona is going to score, I do think, as Donnie's saying, Minnesota has the weapons to keep up. But there is no spread week two that I am more bothered by than this number right. It is the opposite of an overreaction. It is as if they didn't even watch last week's action with this Arizona 3.5 number, and that is a full stay away for me. We take a break here on the early line. We come on back. We got a couple more games to break down, and we also give you our pick 6 cards. Keep it right here on the early line.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
All right, let's keep things moving here on the early line. Moving over now to Bengals-Bears. man, oh man, are the Chicago Bears being disrespected. Although some of it is starting to make its way back. The number was 3.5. It went down to 1.5. Now it's 2.5 here against Cincy. The total is 45.5. Donnie, what do you make of Chicago Cincy, the Andy Dalton revenge game?
I think it's about right. I think the line sits, you know, it should be under 3. I know the FanDuel Sportsbook opened that up at 4.5, now sits at 2.5, but I think that's right. I think that's right on the norm. Now, when we're looking at these two football teams, the opposite end of the spectrum, so impressed with Cincinnati on offense, even though they gave up 5 sacks, offensive line needs to tighten it up a little bit more here, coming in against Khalil Mack and going on the road. But I like the 3 wide receivers, talented. Love the fact that they fed Joe Mixon in a close game, that maybe the Washington football team didn't feed their running back enough last night for Kevin's efforts here. But I do think you're going to get a strong performance out of Cincinnati. But as I say that, this is a game the Bears need to win and should win this game. Lean on your defense, even though it didn't show up all that much on opening night. Again, against Matthew Stafford, Sean McVay on the road. What did we really anticipate from an overall Bears performance? I do expect a lot more out of Andy Dalton, because also, Kevin, sometimes you have to play into the narratives here. If you're Andy Dalton, it didn't look good opening night. I don't think anybody even bet a single dollar on the Chicago Bears on opening night. They get wasted there. But if you're Dalton, and you already know you're under siege from the fan base that says, unless you throw for 350 yards every single week, we want the young hotshot kid in there, Justin Fields. Every fan base is the same exact way as that. So are you coming into this football game going, you know what? I'm not going to throw any deep passes. I'm going to dink and dunk down the field, and we're going to win ugly in this football game. That doesn't help your cause at sticking around in the NFL as a starter. You need to perform. And I'm not saying thinking outside the box with Andy Dalton, like he's going to drop back 50 times and, you know, be Joe Montana. But he has to know, Kevin, plays have to be made, and they should be made against the Cincinnati Bengals defense. And I do think they will make plays. I think if you can get the Bears under 3 points in this game, the Bears should win this football game. But at the same time, one of my favorite looks in this ballgame here, the away total team points here, which is the Cincinnati Bengals on the FanDuel Sportsbook, Kevin, sits at 22.5. I do think they'll be able to approach that 20-point number, giving you a legitimate chance here. But I also think the Bears have enough juice to win this football game and cover as well.
You know, it's so interesting, Donnie, because this is a game where it feels like that Sunday night game has to be the most punch game in the history of football. I mean, again, Matthew Stafford, second choice to an MVP, and apparently the Chicago Bears will never, ever win another game in their season. This number has surprised me all week long, and it's continued to get lower and lower and lower. But let me make a point to the people here, because I like the Chicago Bears all week long. I've told you I like the Chicago Bears. 2.5 minus 104. The money line is minus 134. If you, like I do, like the Chicago Bears, play the money line. 30-cent difference is very, very good value. Do not tell me, what are the chances the 2.5 matters? Did you not watch Thursday night football? They won by one, the Washington football team, as 3.5-point favorites. And here's the thing about that. That Washington, the gap between the money line and the spread, I mean, they were almost a $2 favorite on the money line by the time we got to close. Minus 134 is so palatable to play for a money line instead of getting yourself tripped up by 2.5 points here, just in case the Bears get up to some silly business, even if, yes, I do think they will still cover that number. I think that this is a Bears team that actually moved the ball a little bit in that game against the Rams. They just couldn't close those drives out. David Montgomery looked very good. I'm excited to see where his rushing prop checks in for this football game. Moving over, two more games to get to, a couple of NFC South matchups here. We'll start with the Panthers and the Saints before we get to the defending Super Bowl champions here. The Saints obliterate Aaron Rodgers and the Green Bay Packers on a neutral site down there in Jacksonville. They now go to Carolina as 3.5-point favorites, Donnie, with a total checking in at 44.5.
It looks one of those games again, Kevin. Looks a little too easy, doesn't it? What did you like about New Orleans last week? I don't know, everything they did, keeping the ball, 5 touchdowns, no picks out of your quarterback that threw 5 picks a game, it seemed like, the last time he was a starter in Tampa Bay. That offense looked elite. The offensive line was sensational. The defense was out of this world, and they weren't even at home. This game was a quasi-home game for the New Orleans Saints that was played in Jacksonville. So theoretically here, we're going to have back-to-back road games technically here for the New Orleans Saints. But the number does look short. FanDuel Sportsbook opens up here to 3, now sits at the 3.5. Seems about right in that fashion. But again, you know, drawing tickets and prices here, I can't imagine too many people lining up on the Carolina Panthers. But at the same time, what did you really get out of the Carolina Panthers last week? I actually thought their game plan with Matt Rhule was very sound. And why I say that is, well, their offense didn't look that explosive. They didn't need to be. Kevin, they were a product of their environment last week saying, our defense is okay. Look at this. We look like the steel curtain of the 70s out here playing against this Jets offense. Let's not press the issue here. Let's put up some points here. Nice deep pass for Sam Darnold going up against his old team with his old teammate Robbie Anderson from the New York Jets. And it seemed like that was all they needed. They didn't have to do anything else. Hand the football to one of the most electric players in football, Christian McCaffrey, and ride off into the sunset and just salt away the clock and come away with a victory. If you got in the game late there, you covered the line with the Carolina Panthers. If you got in earlier in that game, you covered with the New York Jets. But having said that, Kevin, I got to tell you, I'm starting to lean a little bit more here toward the Carolina Panthers, not to win the football game. Because as you guys know, I take a look at a different approach in these. If I think Carolina can hang around here, Kevin, and win the football game or possibly be in it, again, they can't score 17 points and win 17-14 against the Saints this weekend. Look at the FanDuel Sportsbook right now, Kevin. Over 20.5 for the Carolina Panthers at -108. If you think they're going to be competitive, this isn't a 14-13 ball game here. You think that Carolina is going to get into the 20s. So why waste a good performance of a 28-24 loss on the spread when you know if you like Carolina, they're going to have to approach that 20-point number here. Just trying to think this game out here week two. And later in the week, Kevin, more and more inclined to try to jump on somehow the Carolina Panthers.
I love when Donnie throws out a 28-24 final. That would be perfect for me in this game. I'll talk a lot more about this one when we get to our pick six. I like the over in this football game. I think 44.5 has juice to it. I look at this game here. The Saints, is it an overreaction number? I'm not sure it is, but I'm not dying to necessarily lay what looks to be maybe a bit of an off number there, but I think this game will have points. The Saints will move the football, and I think the Carolina Panthers will be able to do enough as well. I'm good. There's a player prop as well from this game that'll make my pick six. One that isn't, that I do want to bring up, though, Jameis over 238.5 pass yards. I know last week here you didn't even throw for $150. That's kind of a fool's gold there. He's a gunslinger at heart, Donnie. I know you know it, and I know last week he tripped up there on that pick six, but I think you're going to see Jameis throw the football. Even if it was in garbage time, last week Zach Wilson threw 250. The back end of the Panthers' defense, I think, is vulnerable. One more game to get to before we hit the pick six, Donnie. The defending Super Bowl champs play Atlanta Falcons, who looked horrific in week one. High total, 51.5. Tampa Bay is laying 12.5 points here in this matchup.
Yeah, and we talk about principal plays on In Play Sports tonight. That means when you see a line, it doesn't really matter what your capping prowess is. You have to take it out of principle. And you've always been taught since I was, 3 feet tall here, Kevin, that when you play in the division, double digits is very hard to cover because the teams know each other regardless of how big the discrepancy is with athletic talent between the Tampa Bay Buccaneers and the Atlanta Falcons. And also, overreaction week. Is Atlanta really as bad as we saw last week? I don't think so. Is Tampa Bay really as good as we think they should be this year? They did struggle. And how about if they even lost opening night versus the Dallas Cowboys team? That was already a foregone conclusion they were supposed to blow out. 12.5 points, just to keep it simple here, is too many points for me to lay with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Mm-hmm. Are the Buccaneers winning this football game? Probably so. But I do think Atlanta is going to respond this week and at least be formidable on offense enough to keep this game around that double-digit number. I can't go against that. I can't take the same way with the Houston Texans going up against Cleveland. It's too many points for me, Kevin, to lay here.
Again, if you're playing Survivor, you love the Bucs. Mini bye at home. They should be beating Atlanta with ease. 12.5, as Donnie said, in division. We don't have the number yet. We talked about it earlier. I'll talk about it again. Matt Ryan, pass attempts, anything under 40, we love over. If he doesn't go over, then probably Atlanta needs to reassess everything they're doing. You cannot run the ball on Tampa Bay. Atlanta is going to have to fire if they want to be anything that resembles competitive in this matchup. 51.5 is an interesting total. Donnie, let's give the people the pick six. That's what the people have been waiting for here. Six picks from six different categories to give you all of the options you could possibly dream of here in this week two slate. Donnie, go ahead and start us off.
All right, the pick six for me this week, and I do have one guy tied in twice here, as you're going to find on my card here. Touchdown score. And immediately say, well, hey, Donnie's been bashing Ben Roethlisberger. I don't think Ben Roethlisberger matters all that much in this game because Chase Claypool should have a day against that secondary, cashing a ticket for me of scoring an anytime touchdown versus the Vegas Raiders at plus 155. My money line dog, maybe some of you laughed at me last week, the Houston Texans. No shot. No. Plus 154 came in last week. I'm going even higher. I'm building this into a higher price. How about this one? The Titans go on the road and shock the world at a plus 235 against the Seattle Seahawks. The under game, which I'm not a big under guy, but I like this one here. Interdivision rival, Buffalo Bills, Miami Dolphins, under 47.5. My alt line of the week, which one of the producers, very astute here, maybe have to bring him on the show more often here. The Kansas City Chiefs at a -6.5 at a +130 price here. If I think they're going to win the football game, probably going to be by a touchdown. My yards prop, hey, look who's showing up again. This is a low number here. Chase Claypool over 47.5 yards receiving. Sign me up on that and a touchdown for the double dip. And then my teaser game of the week. I'm going with basically a bad football team. But I don't think they're bad enough, Kevin, to lose by 21 points. Houston Texans, who did me so right last week, to do it again this week at +18.5, Kevin. Get after it. What's your pick six?
I absolutely love it. I just have to say, last week, Don and I both got our legs in the teaser home. I want us to win every week, but one of us is going to trip the other up, and that is going to be
an unreal scene. Because it'll be wonderful.
It's gonna end up being me too. I know it, no doubt about it. Let's go to my pick six here. I'll start with the teaser game: the Dallas Cowboys +9.5. I circled this out as soon as I saw this number. It's only gone higher. I think this is a one-score game, no matter who wins it. My touchdown scorer is Nick Chubb. The money, the number's not out yet. I don't care what the number is. He is scoring a touchdown, and he's probably going to score multiple touchdowns there. I love Nick Chubb, but that's -20. You want a plus money shot? We went over it. Will Fuller +270. Take a deep bomb. Have some fun there. Speaking of deep bombs, Jacksonville Jaguars money line. Yep, we're doing it. I do not care. Trevor Lawrence, ooh, Urban Meyer. Let's get the first one in the back pocket here, fellas. Teddy Two Gloves on the road. Who do you think you are laying 5.5 points? Teddy Bridgewater on the road. My under game. Birds against the Niners. It was 50.5. It's 49.5. It's moving in my direction, which means I'm the king of the world, right? When it moves in your direction, you've already won that bet. I wish it was still 50.5, but I do like that game under the number. My alt line. This worked out last week. We had the alt number that Texans-Jags game over. Doing it again. Panthers-Saints all over 49.5. Gunslinger Jameis will get this done for us. And my yards prop from this game here, Christian McCaffrey over 64.5 rush yards. Just under 100 rush yards last week. I know the Saints have a good run defense, but you're talking about one of the best backs in the league who will dice that team up on the ground to get over that prop. Ariel joins Donnie next, right here on the Early Line.
It's your lucky day.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Last segment of the Early Line for a Football Friday right here on the Sports Grid Network. Both myself, Donnie Wrightside, and Kevin Walsh carried you from 7 to 9, and now it's time to hand it over to the birthday girl and Ben Stevens. That is Ariel Epstein on the morning after 3 hours on a Football Friday. We know it's always action-packed, but happy birthday, Ariel.
Thanks, Donnie. Also, the last time I spoke to you, you weren't verified yet. Now I see that you've got the check mark on Twitter. It is something that both you and I have put a lot of effort into, and congratulations, you finally did it.
It feels so good being up here in the rarefied air. It's like, you know, you had your hand down, you pulled me back up. Now I feel very good here on a Friday heading off into the weekend. But I'll tell you who doesn't feel good. The New York Football Giants yesterday dropping a game they should have won. Looked like they did have it won. A late yellow flag laundry on the field. Re-kick a field goal. They go down. Exciting 30-29 battle here in the NFC East, Ariel.
Yeah, and this is where the spread really comes into play, because if you were backing the Giants, whether it was on the spread or the money line, it really mattered. I had a few friends that sprinkled on the money line, also took the points, and those friends ended up so miserable because they thought they really, really doubled up and won that game. Even though you picked the right side, sometimes it felt like the wrong side. It was just bad mistakes for the Giants down the stretch, and Washington too, for that matter, with that late turnover in the fourth quarter with Heinicke throwing the interception. It was just a mess on both sides. And Donnie, what it proves to us, it's the NFC East. Again, just like last year.
Unbelievable. Unbelievable. Because you even saw that a week ago on Thursday Night Football. The Dallas Cowboys should have had a win over the world champions and let that one slip away. But as we talk about the right side and the wrong side, there's a huge primetime game on Sunday Night Football with the Baltimore Ravens and the Kansas City Chiefs live from Baltimore. Can we get any thoughts on that one quickly here?
I'll be in attendance at the game, and it's really just going to come down to whose birthday is more important. Today is actually Patrick Mahomes' birthday, and my birthday was yesterday. Whose birthday weekend has more, I would say, more good luck on their side? That would is what Sunday's going to come down to. I'm excited, though. I'll be there, and I'll take a lot of videos.
There you go. Stay tuned for the morning after right here on the Sports Grid Network. Ariel and Ben have you covered. As for the early line, we'll see you Monday.
Your wife called.
She wants her husband back.
We told her you were busy. It takes real commitment to get the winning edge.
She seemed upset.